Can I speak to her?
Nicholas frowned. You could, but I wouldn't recommend it. She isn't in the best of moods at the moment. Acacia brought the heels of her hands to her eyes. Her mother blamed her for what had happened. She'd never forgive her.
I put her life at risk by coming here,
she groaned. Nonsense. How could you have known he would be here?
We avoided this part of the world intentionally. I knew better.
It wasn't your fault. Acacia picked at the sheets.
What about your meeting with Constantine's contact? Did you go back?
Don't worry about it. How do you feel?
Drained. Upset.
She brushed the sleep from her eyes. I need to tell you a few things. Nicholas's tone was grave. Are you feeling up to it? She nodded. My team made inquiries, and you're correct. The man you saw is Omar Zaid Hirzala. A feeling of horror rose in Acacia's chest.
Is he here now?
No. I'm told he left the airport in a private plane about an hour ago. Apparently, he's flying to Morocco. Nicholas pried her fingers from the sheet. I owe you an apology.
For what?
For shouting at you. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
His gaze dropped to their hands. I thought you were leaving me.
I was trying to escape him.
Next time, let me help. She set her teeth.
There won't be a next time. I don't ever want to be that close to him again.
Nicholas's eyes lingered on hers before they lowered to the large azure globes around her neck.
You weren't wearing those at the meeting?
No.
Instinctively, her hand covered the necklace. Her Hamsa pendant swung from her wrist.
You stopped to take my gift with you?
She changed the subject.
Were you able to reschedule your meeting?
His expression tightened. He shook his head.
Nicholas, I'm so sorry. Were you able to get any information at all?
We'd barely begun.
Oh, no.
Nicholas lifted a shoulder.
In life, there are detours.
Acacia winced. Nicholas couldn't hide his disappointment. It was evident in his eyes and on his face.
You gave up your chance to find your family's paintings because Kurt told you I was leaving?
Nicholas didn't answer. The searing intensity of his gaze was its own response.
I'm so sorry,
she whispered.
When you're feeling up to it, I'd like you to tell me how a Brazilian concierge ended up related to a Jordanian arms dealer.
Acacia leaned back against the pillows. Nicholas was conflicted. That much was obvious. Clearly he was upset about what had happened to her, but there was a hint of censure in his voice she didn't like.
I don't like things hanging over my head,
she said heatedly.
Nor do I,
he challenged.
Fine.
She fixed him with a defiant look.
The story is simple. I was born in Jordan to a Brazilian mother and a Jordanian father. My mother converted to Islam when she married my father.
I take it Acacia Santos isn't your real name.
No. My name is Hanin. Hanin Hirzala.
Hanin.
Nicholas pronounced her name as if it were a caress.
It means longing or yearning in Arabic.
It suits you. She looked down at the sheets. Nicholas was from an old and prominent European Jewish family. She had been worried about how he'd react to the revelation that she was Muslim. But he seemed untroubled, and the way he pronounced her birth name.
We lived in Amman until I was 10, and then my mother took me and fled. I haven't seen my father since.
If you hadn't seen him in so many years, how did you recognize him?
I know what my father looks like. Besides, the man downstairs was wearing the same signet ring he always wore.
So you fled Jordan and went to Brazil?
That's right.
Nicholas smoothed the wrinkles from his suit trousers.
Why are you afraid of him?
She lifted her hair and exposed her scar.
That's reason enough.
Nicholas's eyes met hers. Is there more?
He sent a man to Brazil to kidnap me when I was 15. But by that time, I had enough martial arts training to get away.
Nicholas's eyebrows shot up.
What happened? Acacia looked at the floor.
We were living in Rio. I was on my way home from school. Someone grabbed me and started speaking in Arabic about my father. He didn't expect me to fight, so I surprised him.
Nicholas chuckled, but when he saw Cassia's expression, he sobered.
I'm sorry. It isn't funny. But there's something wondrous about the thought of you beating up a grown man when you were a teenager. My mother and I had to leave everything behind and flee Rio for Recife. We had to change identities again.
Acacia tugged at her hair.
That isn't the worst of it.
What is? Nicholas whispered.
My father sold bomb-making materials to the people who bombed Damascus in 1986. They killed civilians.
Nicholas blinked. That wasn't in the dossier I was provided.
You have a dossier on him?
Once you gave me his name, I had Wen reach out to some allies. The dossier said your father is a wealthy Jordanian businessman who travels a lot, doing business all over the Near East and North Africa. It's widely known he's an arms dealer, but no one has been able to tie him to a specific terrorist attack or incursion.
By the March 1986 bombings of Damascus, he admitted it to my mother, along with supplying materials for the April bombings.
Nicholas's eyes narrowed.
If you were 10 years old in 1986, then you can't be 35. We didn't know about the bombings until years later, just before I turned 10. By that time he was trading arms all over the region. He'd kept his activities secret from us, but my mother found out. When we fled Rio, we adopted new identities and changed our birth dates. I'm 37.
She fanned a hand over her forehead.
Where did you say my mother was?
At a safe house in Manaus. She's in the care of a former CIA agent. You can speak to her again tomorrow.
He paused, his brow wrinkled. In the dossier, you and your mother are recorded as deceased. How good is your intelligence?
He adjusted the rolled sleeves of his black shirt.
Let's just say I have friends in America.
Acacius's stomach flipped.
Please tell me you didn't give them our names.
Of course not. Nicholas's eyebrows knitted together. Your father is the person of interest. Let me add that our American friends were grateful for my report. They've been tracking your father for some time. Acacia's hands went into her hair. She rocked back and forth and tugged.
Don't.
Nicholas's hands covered hers. You're hurting yourself. She allowed him to unwind her fingers from her hair and lower her hands to the mattress.
The CIA has my mother.
No. Nicholas returned his hands to his knees.
I have your mother. The ex-agent and his team are simply the ones on the ground. My father will find her.
No, he won't. The extraction was done quickly and quietly. Nicholas touched her hand. I should tell you that there were death certificates in the dossier. One for you and one for your mother. Anyone who has access to the dossier will think you and your mother died long ago.
My father must have reported us dead after we fled.
The death certificates looked official. Your new identities are solid. My best people investigated you, and there wasn't even a hint of your true background.
My mother bribed a government official in Rio. She cut ties with her friends and family in Minas Gerais before we left Jordan. We've never contacted them.
Nicholas gave her a thoughtful look.
Your fingerprints aren't linked to another identity. I was so young when we went to Brazil, I hadn't been fingerprinted, and then afterward, when we changed identities and moved to Recife, my mother bribed the same official.
I'm sure it was very confusing for you while you were growing up.
Hatred is the only thing I find confusing.
You lied to me. His voice was sad. She pulled the sheets back and swung her legs to the floor.
I lied to everyone, just like you lied to me and the rest of the staff when you walked into Hotel Victoire.
He watched her for a moment.
Now that we're telling the truth, is there anything else I should know? My mother found weapons in our apartment in Amman. When she confronted my father, he became violent.
Acacia gestured to where her scar was hidden beneath her hair.
I tried to protect her, and he beat both of us. He threatened to kill us if we told anyone about the weapons. My mother bided her time and was able to pay a man to smuggle us out of Jordan. We've been in hiding ever since.
Nicholas's face darkened. He beat you. Acacia jerked her chin.
You were 10 years old.
Nicholas lowered his voice.
He beat you? I have the scar to prove it.
Jesus, he swore. Slowly, he stood. She remained perched on the edge of the bed.
If he finds me, he'll find my mother. There are too many ties between us, emails, phone calls, money transfers.
You're assuming he'd recognize you after all this time.
I can't risk it.
Nicholas made eye contact with her. He stepped closer. When she didn't move away, his fingers sought her hair. He pushed back her curls and regarded her scar.
I've dealt with arms dealers before.
I'm not afraid of your father.
You should be.
Nicholas withdrew his hand. He's no different from others I've encountered in the art world over the years. The question is, what do you want me to do about him?
Protect my mother.
Nicholas half smiled. You didn't even take time to think before answering. Your mother will remain in the safe house until we assess the threat. I've demanded updated intelligence on your father and his people. We'll see what we find out. What do you want me to do for you? She hesitated.
Acacia?
She wrung her hands.
I'll need a new identity.
You want to keep running?
No!
She clutched at her chest. The weight of her decision made it difficult to breathe.
I have no choice.
If you want a new identity, I can secure one for you.
Wouldn't you rather stand your ground? Keep the life you've worked so hard to build? I may not have that luxury.
She inhaled slowly. Her eyes pled with him.
No matter what happens with us, promise me you'll keep my secret.
Are you anticipating us parting ways? His tone was cautious. She ducked her head.
My father is a terrorist. I lied to you about everything.
Nicholas was silent for a few seconds. He lifted her chin.
Did you lie to me in bed?
She blinked, confused.
No.
Did you lie when you said you cared for me? That we would be monogamous lovers as well as friends?
Of course not.
When you said, I had a noble soul, he whispered.
Your soul is noble.
Her voice wobbled. You thought I'd send you away because you and your mother ran away from your father?
I lied about who I am. I'm a Brazilian Jordanian Muslim, Nicholas.
You think I'd stop caring for you because you're Muslim? He shook his head. Muslims and Jews have their differences, but we are not natural enemies. We live in peace in many parts of the world. You know that. You also know I am not a racist.
I know.
Acacia swallowed noisily.
You knew I was Jewish probably from the moment Madame Bishop gave you my real name. Of course, the Cassiers are a famous Jewish family from Germany.
So my religion wasn't a barrier to your affection.
I don't choose my lovers on the basis of their religion. I choose them on the content of their characters.
She sniffled.
Then we are the same, don't you see? We have our differences, but we share the same ideals. Acacia, if a woman who'd been beaten by her husband came to me and asked for a new identity, I'd do anything I could to help. I'd be on the right side of justice in doing so. Of course your mother gave you a new identity when you were a child. She was protecting you.
Acacia covered her mouth with both hands as years of emotions flooded her. The strain of keeping so many secrets finally gave way. Nicholas wrapped her in his arms before the first tears fell. Chapter 41 Acacia couldn't sleep. Nicholas held her in his arms, but her mind would not rest. She was afraid her father had seen her. She was afraid he'd find her mother. She was afraid her mother would never speak to her again.
She was also afraid she'd cost Nicholas closure to his family's tragedy.
I'm sorry,
she murmured to the semi-darkness. Nicholas had insisted on leaving the bathroom lights on. Their warm glow spilled onto the bedroom carpet. On Acacia's side of the bed, he lit a small oil lamp that flickered on her nightstand. His arm tightened around her. Sorry for what?
Everything.
She bit her lip. He kissed her temple. That's too much to be sorry for, mon amour. Sorrow, keen and sharp, pierced her. She placed her hand over her mouth and willed herself not to cry. Nicholas drew her back toward him, his naked chest flush against her shoulder blades.
Anine, you are safe now,
he whispered in Arabic. Acacia held her breath.
You speak Arabic?
No, he hugged her. This afternoon I asked the staff to translate for me, and then I practiced saying it.
You did that for me?
I'll continue calling you Acacia, unless you tell me otherwise, but I want Anine to know she is safe. He kissed the back of her head.
Anine is lost.
Her voice was hoarse. He pressed a kiss to her hair.
You aren't lost. You're right here. I don't know how to feel. I've kept secrets so long.
He squeezed her gently.
Now you have someone who cares about you, who knows the truth. But I've put you in danger.
Don't worry about me. Who else knows the truth?
My father, my mother, the government official she bribed in Rio, and you and your people.
I haven't shared. My trusted team members know your father is a potential threat to you and your mother, but I've concealed as much as I can. Acacia sighed in relief.
Does Luke know?
Nicholas's tone was anything but casual.
No. When he decided to join the BRB, I ended things. I was afraid of what would happen if he found out the truth.
Nicholas's body grew rigid. What, specifically, were you afraid of?
I was afraid the truth would end his career. I thought it would put him in danger. I also worried someone would investigate me because of him.
But he knows you're Muslim, and he accepted it. She shook her head.
I hid my faith when I came to France. I was afraid of my father, but I was also afraid I'd be discriminated against. I practiced my religion in secret, but I always wore my Hamsa pendant.
Did you love him?
My father?
Luke. Nicholas's voice grew tight.
Yes.
Nicholas rolled her to her back and hovered over her. Do you still love him?
No.
Nicholas brought his forehead to hers.
Are you sure? Yes.
Nicholas brushed his lips across hers, feather light.
The truth changes things.
She looked away.
I understand.
Do you? He caressed her cheek. What I meant was that I'll need to be careful to keep you away from the media. I don't want your photograph splashed around.
How did you avoid having your picture taken as Pierre Breckman?
I avoided places where the paparazzi were known to congregate, and if a stray photo was taken, I bought it. His thumb moved over her eyebrows.
You could have told me before. It wouldn't have made a difference.
She grabbed his hand and pulled it away from her face.
You can't say that. You have no idea what you would have done had I told you.
Artfully, he moved his hand, so he held hers instead.
I know myself. That's all I need to know.
She lowered her gaze to their hands.
Why aren't you afraid of my father?
Why should I be?
He's a terrorist.
As I said, I've dealt with men like him before. She lifted her eyes to meet his.
He could kill you, Nicholas, or have you killed?
Nicholas didn't respond. Acacia's breath seemed to catch in her throat.
Doesn't that trouble you?
My sister was murdered. I'm on a mission to find her killer. I have an elaborate network in place, designed to protect me and those I care about. That network wouldn't hesitate to eliminate a threat. Her gaze slid to the side, toward the lamp that shone from her nightstand.
Acacia, he rumbled, stay with me.
Her eyes moved back to his. He touched her cheek once again.
While my network is different from your father's, I'm confident it can protect us. I not only trade in artwork and antiquities, I trade in information.
What does that mean?
It means I have contacts in various intelligence agencies around the world. I provide them with information on occasion, and they do the same for me.
So you're a spy?
No.
His denial was firm. I'm only an asset to those agencies, as they are to me. I choose when to share information and what information I share. They do the same. Thus far, these relationships have been profitable for both sides.
You're scaring me,
she whispered.
Your father may be a threat to you, but I am a threat to your father. If he were to discover your identity, he'd find me as well.
Acacia let out an unsteady breath.
Mon amour, I'm not telling you this to frighten you. I'm telling you this to reassure you. You're safe with me.
I want to go back to Paris.
Tomorrow. I've already made arrangements.
His hand slid down to her hip.
I have one request to ask of you.
What?
If the time comes for you to leave me, tell me before you go.
Nicholas, I...
His dark eyes glittered.
Promise me.
I promise.
He squeezed her hip.
I've got you, Acacia. I've got you, Hanin. Anyone who wants to get to you will have to go through me.
She screwed her eyes shut and buried her face in his neck. Chapter 42.
How do you feel?
Nicholas traced the back of her hand with his thumb.
I'm all right.
She gave him a brave smile and turned to look out the window. They were in Nicholas's private plane and had almost reached Paris. In the hours before they'd left Hotel Dubai, they'd agreed Acacia wouldn't change her identity. According to Nicholas's sources, there'd been no chatter about her or her mother. It seemed her father hadn't seen her. Acacia was cautiously optimistic. It was still possible her father had seen her and was simply lying in wait. Just to be sure, her mother remained in hiding, and Acacia had promised to be shadowed by Kurt at all times. Nicholas offered to take her to his home in Zurich, but she'd refused. He'd disappeared into the lavatory about an hour after takeoff to apply the prosthetic he wore to cover his scar. When he emerged, it was so artfully done, Acacia couldn't even see where the prosthetic began and his real skin ended.
What will you do next?
He asked.
I need to find a job.
She shut her eyes quickly and opened them.
I need to let Luke know I'm back.
Be careful.
Acacia faced Nicholas.
If I cut him off, he'll be more suspicious.
Nicholas scowled. It was clear he wanted to protest, but he held his peace. She changed the subject.
I should probably call Madame Bishop tomorrow.
That's a good idea.
The Paris police might want to interview me again.
Acacia shuddered.
More attention I don't need.
I have a contact in the police service. The investigation is focused on linking Marcel's murder to other assaults in the area.
Acacia stared.
But Marcel's assault was premeditated. You figured it out.
Yes, but I was aware of Marcel's underworld activities. Obviously, Monsieur Ra has pointed the police in a different direction. I've kept Marcel's journal as insurance, so the police are missing that as well.
Shouldn't we hand over the journal?
We'd be putting ourselves at risk.
But what about Marcel's killers?
They came after you once. We have something they want, which means we have leverage.
Acacia rested her head against the seat.
Do you think they'll try to get the journal back?
Not if their employer is as smart as I believe he is.
She drummed her fingers against the armrest.
How can you be so sure?
Nicholas shifted in his seat.
Because like anyone involved in the black market, he doesn't want exposure. At the moment, we have a detente,
Marcel, for whatever reason, was a threat to him. Marcel has been eliminated. The dealer wants the journal, presumably to clean up loose ends, but he knows we have it. He also knows we haven't turned it over to the authorities. If he's smart, he'll leave us be and move on.
Acacia looked at Nicholas carefully.
Just how involved in the black market are you?
He gazed straight ahead. The black market took my sister. I'm as involved as much as I have to be to find the ones responsible.
Acacia exhaled loudly. Nicholas leaned closer.
I know you're feeling upset about the meeting I had to cut short, but I've already made progress. My analysts are cross-referencing the Paris Art Dealers Associates with associates linked to Constantine's contact in Dubai. It's only a matter of time before we narrow the pool to a few wealthy Russians who've done business with both dealers. Then we'll focus on that list and see if they can be linked to Yasmin. It may take time, but the leads are much more promising than anything I've had before.
I don't know how you can cross-reference leads when names are never exchanged.
Nicholas gave her a half-smile. We have ways of uncovering identities.
When you find Yasmin's ex, you'll be able to get your family's artwork back?
Perhaps. Nicholas's expression wasn't precisely happy. Acacia wondered why. I'm gratified you're still wearing my gift. He touched one of the beads of her necklace.
It means something to me.
She reached up to draw Nicholas's mouth to hers. She kissed him slowly and let the affection she felt for him in her heart lead her.
Thank you for protecting my mother,
she whispered. He deepened the kiss. When they parted, he looked down at her, his eyes on fire.
You're mine this evening. I'm taking you to dinner, and then I'm taking you to bed. Is that a promise?
She tugged on his tie. It's a vow. She smiled and snuggled closer into his side. Nicholas and Acacia were whisked through customs in Paris before being transferred to a large Range Rover. Nicholas gave Acacia's address to the driver. A short time later, they pulled up in front of her building. As Kurt helped her step onto the curb, she looked up at the stone structure. It seemed so long since she'd been home. Indeed, she felt like a different person. She was conscious of the fact that although Nicholas knew her secrets, she was still obliged to keep them from others. The duality felt curious. Kurt guided her into the building quickly. Like most bodyguards, he didn't like his client being out in the open. Rick followed with Nicholas. There was a brief exchange with Madame Ouellette, the superintendent of the building, who provided Acacia with new keys. The locks had been changed on the front door to the building, as well as her apartment. As they ascended the staircase, Acacia craned her neck to see her doorway. It was freshly painted and stood apart from the other ivory-colored doors and walls.
Wayne is waiting for us,
Nicholas murmured as he took Acacia's elbow. He's already scanned the apartment, and he'll scan us as well. Acacia sighed. Wayne's presence was a constant reminder of possible threats. She used her new keys to unlock the two new locks on her door. Slowly, she opened it. The studio apartment had been repaired, but it had been no ordinary renovation. The space had been entirely transformed into a peaceful haven. Madame Cassirer's design plan had been implemented to the letter, and it was far more beautiful and functional than Acacia had imagined.
Hi,
Wen greeted her from the kitchen.
Hi.
She smiled and crossed the threshold. Wen completed his surveillance, and when he didn't find anything, waved his goodbye. Now she could truly admire the renovation. The kitchen had been completely redone with white, glass-doored cabinets and stainless steel hardware. New stainless steel appliances and a marble countertop gleamed under task lighting. The parquet floor had been refinished and shone a warm honey color. The sleeping area now featured an expanded closet with built-in shelves and cubbyholes. Her old twin bed had been replaced by a white, wrought-iron daybed dressed in azure and blue. Nicholas frowned darkly at the bed.
It's far too small.
Acacia laughed.
It pulls out into a queen. It was part of the design plan I worked on with your mother.
She tugged at Nicholas's hand so he could take a closer look. He breathed a sigh of relief.
I knew my mother adored you.
He kissed the top of Acacia's head.
Does she know about us?
I called her this morning and told her we were returning to Paris. She wormed the information out of me.
Acacia felt the edges of panic begin to close around her. Nicholas touched her face.
What's that look for?
Acacia's gaze flickered to the bodyguards, who acted as if they weren't eavesdropping. Nicholas stroked her cheek with his thumb.
Look at me.
When she made eye contact, he continued.
She doesn't know about your past. That's your story to tell, when and if you choose. But you should know, she and my father are very happy for us. You have no reason to fear their approval. You have it. Not that it matters.
Family is important.
He touched her chin.
Yes. But by way of contrast, I don't have the approval of your mother, and I'm afraid I don't care.
Acacia smiled.
Right now I don't have the approval of my mother. I'm not sure I'll ever have it again after Dubai.
Which illustrates my point. Family can be a blessing, but they can also be a curse. We shouldn't allow our happiness to be tainted by their disapproval.
She nodded.
Now, let's admire your collaboration with Maman. She said you and she worked together very well.
Nicholas placed his arm around Acacia's shoulders, and they surveyed the apartment together. Acacia's attention was drawn to the lamps and new light fixtures, the cozy area rug in front of the daybed, and the floor-to-ceiling bookshelf that stood on the side wall. She noticed that her copy of Monet's Twilight Venice had been repaired and framed, and to her surprise, next to it hung a large, framed copy of Monet's Gare Saint-Lazare, which was one of her favorite paintings.
Maman mentioned she had a gift for you,
Nicholas explained. You and she share an admiration of the way Monet painted light.
I have to thank her. It's such a beautiful copy.
The original hangs in the National Gallery in London, but I've never seen it.
Acacia stepped closer and reached a hesitant hand to the painting.
We'll call her later. The contractors did excellent work, but you and Maman have an eye for design. I see you picked Santorini blue and white as your colors.
Nicholas caressed Acacia's shoulder. She wrapped her arm around his waist and hugged him.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
His chin came to rest on top of her head.
You're welcome, Amour.
Hello, Acacia. Are you home?
Kate's voice carried from the hall. Acacia turned to see her friend at the door, her view partially obscured by the bodyguards.
Whoa!
Kate lifted a finger to point at Nicholas.
Who's that?
Acacia laughed. She took Nicholas's hand and led him past the bodyguards, who crowded the doorway and blocked Kate's entrance.
Kate, this is Nicholas. Nicholas, this is my neighbor, Kate.
Kate pulled Acacia away from Nicholas and hugged her. She switched to English.
I'm so glad to see you. I was worried.
Acacia squeezed her back.
I'm fine. How are you?
Jealous. You flee the city and end up coming back with someone even hotter than Inspector. What a shame. I need to take Brazilian lessons.
Acacia laughed again.
He speaks English, Kate.
Excellent,
she murmured. Pleased to meet you. Nicholas extended his hand and shook Kate's with a smile. He turned to Acacia.
Inspector, what a shame,
he mouthed. Acacia shook her head.
I wasn't sure I'd be home when you got back, so I gave the keys to Madame Ouellet.
I guess she handed them over?
Yes. Good. You didn't have to wait.
Kate tugged on Acacia's arm.
Claude is in my apartment, and I have your mail.
Kurt insisted on preceding Acacia and Nicholas to Kate's apartment. He carried the cat carrier and bag of accoutrements as they escorted Claude back to Acacia's.
So, this is your cat?
Nicholas peered down at the ball of fur in Acacia's arms. The cat looked up at Nicholas and hissed.
Claude!
Acacia scolded him. He wriggled free, leaped to the floor, and ran under her new bed. Nicholas frowned.
That went well.
Claude doesn't like people.
Just like his namesake, he seems to like you and Kate well enough,
Nicholas observed. Kate put Acacia's mail on the kitchen counter.
Thank you.
Acacia hugged her friend again.
Thank you for looking after Claude and picking up the mail.
No problem.
I'll take you to lunch. That sounds great. I have a meeting with my thesis advisor tomorrow morning.
We could have lunch after?
Sure. Meet you at Café Mirabelle?
Perfect. Kate peered around the apartment. It looks so much better than before. Do you like it?
I love it.
Acacia took Nicholas's hand.
Bernard is having a party tonight. I don't suppose you two want to come?
Kate looked at Nicholas dubiously.
I'm afraid we have other plans.
He kissed Acacia's knuckles and smiled down at her.
Right. Poor Bernard.
Kate stared at Nicholas, who gazed longingly at Acacia, and jerked her thumb at the door.
I'm just going to go now. See you.
Nicholas's eyes moved to hers. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Before Kate entered the hall, she made eye contact with Acacia.
Call me.
Then she closed the door. Nicholas looked in the direction of the bed.
I don't suppose the cat will be coming out any time soon.
Not with so many people around.
Acacia looked at Rick and Kurt balefully. From their body language, they had no intention of leaving.
Welcome home,
Nicholas said. We have a reservation at Les Jouvernes, but it's not until sunset. You have plenty of time to settle in.
Les Jouvernes?
Acacia gasped.
I thought we'd be staying in. Wouldn't that be safer?
He turned to the bodyguards. Wait in the hall, please. They exited the apartment and left the door ajar. Nicholas gathered Acacia in his arms.
You've spent a lot of years hiding. With me. You don't need to hide.
I've always had to look over my shoulder. I don't think I'm capable of living any other way.
His expression was grave. I know what that's like. There was always the possibility my sister's killers would try to end me as well. Acacia's arms around him tightened.
But Acacia, those who wreak terror and trade in fear want us to cower. They want us to hide. It's time for you to reclaim control. Now you have the resources to protect yourself and your mother. You have the resources to fight back.
I don't want to fight. I just want to live in peace.
Nicholas's expression hardened.
Sometimes the war comes to you.
She frowned.
If I rely on you for protection, I'll be living Yasmin's life.
Nicholas released her, his face angry.
What are you talking about?
Nicholas, please don't be cross with me.
She reached for his hand, but he evaded her.
I met you, and you're wonderful. You're generous and noble and thoughtful. But wouldn't you have me with you because I want to be, and not because I have to be?
I'm sorry. I thought that's what was happening.
He folded his arms over his chest, his eyes thunderous.
Right now it's both.
She touched his arm. This time he didn't withdraw.
We need to find a way for me to be safe without relying on your protection. Then you'll know I'm with you solely because I want to be.
What's wrong with protecting those you care about?
He made a sweeping gesture to the room.
What's wrong with offering resources as well as your heart? If you were part of my family, it wouldn't even be a question.
But I'm not, Nicholas.
Nicholas opened his mouth. He shut it abruptly.
Fuck.
He took her hand.
Our connection makes you family. I protect those I care about, Acacia. I'm not going to compromise your safety.
This is how you want to bind me to you?
Nicholas looked stricken.
No,
he admitted.
I'd rather have you with me only because you want to be.
Acacia wrapped his hand in both of hers.
Then we're agreed.
I hadn't thought of it that way,
he said, almost sorrowfully.
I didn't think you'd see our situation as resembling Yasmin's.
We have to find a way forward that allows me to continue living my life.
Am I a part of that?
Nicholas's eyes were earnest, but something lurked in their depths. Something that appeared to Acacia like anxiety.
I'd like you to be.
His shoulders relaxed.
Good. It will take some time to find our way. I'm hoping you can give me that time.
I can.
Thank you.
Now, are you coming to dinner with me this evening or not?
She cocked her head to one side.
Is that an invitation or a command?
He smiled repentantly.
I would be honored if you'd accompany me to dinner, mademoiselle.
Thank you, I accept.
I'll leave Rick with you. Kurt will come with me to the hotel, and we'll come back in about 2 hours to pick you up.
Not Rick.
Nicholas lifted his eyebrows.
Why not?
He doesn't like me.
Rick doesn't like anyone.
Then again, neither does your cat. Nicholas's attempt at humor was entirely lost on Acacia. She pondered whether or not to mention the exchange she'd had with Rick in Dubai and decided against it.
I'd prefer Kurt.
Very well.
Nicholas gave her an assessing look.
Can I invite myself to stay tonight?
Here?
Acacia looked over at the bed.
But you booked rooms at the Ritz.
Were you planning on returning to my hotel with me?
I just got home.
Precisely.
He placed his arms around her and drew her into his chest.
We won't have privacy if the bodyguards are here. It's a studio.
She leaned her cheek against his heart.
They can stand in the hall.
Nicholas tipped up her chin and brushed his lips across hers.
I'll see you in 2 hours.
Hurry back.
Nicholas rewarded her with a blinding smile, and then he was gone.
Chapter 43
Le Jules Verne was a famous restaurant located on the second floor of the Eiffel Tower, which afforded an incredible view of Paris as night began to fall. Nicholas had ensured his reservation coincided with the setting sun. They sat at an intimate table next to the windows. Parts of the tower's elaborate metalwork framed their sightline. The chef himself came from the kitchen to shake hands, clapping Nicholas on the shoulder and addressing him as an old friend. Acacia was grateful for her training in hospitality, which gave her a quiet poise she could adopt whenever she was nervous. Of course, her clothes helped, too. She was grateful for the limited wardrobe she'd bought when she'd become Nicholas's assistant, as it was tailored for special occasions such as this one. She wore a cocktail dress of black lace embroidered with brightly colored flowers. Her hair, as always, hung in dark curls to her chin. Her black high heels saved Nicholas from having to bend his neck too far in order to kiss her. Her Hamsa pendant hung from her wrist, and she wore Nicholas's necklace at her throat. After the chef returned to the kitchen, Nicholas gazed at her appreciatively.
You are very beautiful.
Thank you.
Her eyes sparkled as she turned to the skyline. The lights of Paris had begun to shine. Both skyscrapers and historical buildings were illuminated. The beautiful Seine, her lucky river, flowed in the distance. Acacia had a difficult time tearing her eyes away.
I've made many reservations at this restaurant, all for other people,
she mused.
I never expected to dine here.
I wanted to lay Paris at your feet.
Nicholas reached across the table to take her hand.
It's breathtaking.
Good.
And how is Claude? Acacia smiled.
He's happy I'm home. I hope the two of you will get to know one another.
I'm not really a cat person.
For your sake, I'll try. Nicholas sipped his champagne. Have you spoken to Luke? Acacia stared into her champagne glass.
I texted him, telling him I was home.
Nicholas frowned. And?
He wanted to come over. I put him off until tomorrow.
Nicholas's expression soured. Acacia glanced around. The restaurant was full. Although the other patrons were speaking at reasonable levels, she was conscious of the fact that she and Nicholas could be overheard. She lowered her voice.
I'm not looking forward to seeing him, but he's been worried about me. When I was at the Victoire and wondering what to do about the painting I saw in your suite, I called him. He came right over.
At that moment, a waiter appeared to top up their champagne glasses. Another waiter served the amuse-bouche of marinated white fish with radish. Nicholas lifted his fork and stabbed the fish.
He's BRB. He was doing his job.
I can handle Luke.
Acacia tasted the fish. It was incredible, buttery and flavorful.
You shouldn't have to handle him. He needs to remember his manners. Acacia dabbed at her lips with her napkin. Her annoyance flared.
You know everything about me and Luke. Tell me about Silke.
Nicholas's eyes burned into hers. Why?
I'm curious.
It isn't a pleasant tale, he warned.
You know my secrets.
That's true. He peered out the window, looking very upset. A waiter removed their empty plates while another served the next course, blue lobster with a vinaigrette.
Nicholas?
She prompted. Nicholas slid his palm over the tablecloth, as if he were smoothing out wrinkles. You saw the photographs of Silke with that American.
I did. They were disgraceful.
Nicholas's eyes seared into hers. Ours was a business relationship. Silke was part of my cover. I needed someone who could move in and out of social events. I paid her a salary and secured an apartment for her. She traveled with me a few times a year. Acacius's fork clattered against her plate. A number of patrons turned to look. She flushed and brought her napkin to her mouth.
You paid her?
She wouldn't have considered me otherwise. Nicholas laughed without amusement. One of my associates introduced me to her in a different guise. He gestured to where his scar rested beneath the prosthetic. She tried to back out of our arrangement when she saw the true me. She said she couldn't bear to look at me. Acacia cringed.
Oh, Nicholas!
Despite her mercenary heart, Silke had at least one loyalty. She works in intelligence.
For whom?
I can't tell you. Nicholas's expression was serious. She never disclosed who she was working for, but I investigated her before our arrangement took effect and found out. He looked down at the table. During one of our trips, one thing led to another. We started a sexual relationship that continued until she decided to take up with that American. A feeling of horror passed over Acacia. She hadn't given his previous relationship sufficient attention when she considered becoming involved with him. Clearly his wounds were fresh. Nicholas glared into his champagne. She broke our agreement, and she didn't even have the courtesy to tell me herself. She engineered the paparazzi photos in order to break things off with me. I don't know if the American is an asset she's working, or if her heart, such as it is involved. I suspect the former. Nicholas threw back his drink in a single swallow. He signaled for a waiter and ordered a vodka and tonic.
I'm sorry,
Acacia whispered. The feeling of horror grew. It was now resident in her stomach, twisting her insides. When the waiter returned with Nicholas's drink, she placed her napkin on the table.
Please excuse me.
The waiter pulled out her chair, and Nicholas stood, his eyes stormy. Kurt followed as she exited the dining area and walked toward the ladies' room. He waited outside the door. Inside, Acacia leaned against the vanity.
What the hell am I doing?
Nicholas had just confessed to hiring a spy to be his mistress. He'd continued paying her a salary after they started having sex. Acacia thought back to the Hotel Victoire's guest records and the names of the women who'd accompanied him over the years. Had they been high-priced escorts, too? Acacia turned. In the mirror, she could see the dress Nicholas had bought. She was living in an apartment he and his mother had renovated and decorated. She was eating a dinner he'd be paying for. What was the difference between she and Silke, or she and Yasmin?
Affection. You care for Nicholas, and your affection is given freely.
In her reflection, she saw a woman who'd lived a life of fraud, a woman who lived in fear. Even so, she'd tried to find a way to be with Nicholas as an equal and not a dependent. She could tell herself she'd been lonely when Nicholas came to a room in Santorini. But that wasn't the only reason she welcomed him. She wasn't ready to call it love, but whatever she felt for Nicholas was powerful and deep. He was in her heart now, and the thought that Silke had wounded him so cruelly made her angry.
You want him to be happy.
The truth about Silke stung, but Nicholas's shame and pain at being thought ugly was far more troubling. He'd obviously developed some feelings for Silke, or else he wouldn't have been so incensed by her betrayal. Acacia had no right to be angry with him. In judging Nicholas, she'd have to judge herself. They'd both hidden and tried to find human connection while preserving secrets. She fixed her makeup and combed her hair before exiting the ladies' room. Kurt reached for her elbow.
Are you all right?
His evident concern touched her.
I'm all right. Thank you.
If you're ill, I can take you home. I'll tell Rick.
No, I'm going to finish dinner. Thank you, Kurt.
He stood aside and shadowed her back to the dining room. Nicholas moved to his feet as soon as he caught sight of her. His mouth and jaw were tight. He came around the edge of the table to pull out her chair, waving the waiter aside. He placed his hands on her shoulders as she sat and bent toward her ear.
I wasn't sure you were coming back.
I needed a minute.
She replaced her napkin in her lap. Nicholas sat across from her. He waited while the waiter took away their plates and served the next course, a stuffed zucchini.
It's a shameful thing,
he said in a low voice.
Much as I'd like to pretend otherwise, she was a hired companion. It's embarrassing and humiliating. Imagine what my parents would say if they found out.
Acacia slid her hand across the table.
Nicholas.
He took her hand, but didn't lift his eyes.
My previous relationships were normal. Nevertheless, I assure you that I always wore condoms with Silka, and I'm tested regularly.
Acacia wound their fingers together.
I believe you.
He lifted his head. His dark eyes were filled with regret.
I would never put you at risk.
I know that.
She swallowed.
That isn't what upset me.
If I could do it over, I would.
Acacia nodded.
I can't help being jealous.
Jealous?
His tone was incredulous.
Whatever else she is, Silka is very beautiful.
I never had a moment of levity with her. She didn't make me laugh or tell me I needed better friends. She was indifferent to art, but extremely interested in valuable, costly things. I was foolish to get involved with her at all, and even more foolish to sleep with her.
Acacia lifted Nicholas's hand and kissed his knuckles.
She doesn't appreciate beauty. That much is true.
No one has called me beautiful in some time.
You need new friends.
Nicholas threw his head back and laughed. Other patrons once again turned their heads toward the sound.
Why is it, mon petit, that you have this ability to make me laugh just when I want to smash something?
You should laugh more. Your eyes brighten and your face crinkles. I love hearing you laugh.
Then I shall endeavor to laugh more,
he vowed. I'm sorry to have sullied our beautiful evening with confessions of my frailty.
Although the story is unpleasant, I'm glad you told me.
I'm grateful you didn't walk out on me forever.
His gaze deepened in intensity.
I'm sorry you've experienced so much hurt because of your scar. You're handsome, Nicholas, with the scar and without it. You don't have to wear the prosthetic, not with me.
You mean it, he murmured.
Of course. You have to know how much I care for you. All of you.
His smile was dazzling.
But, Nicholas, this reinforces what I was saying earlier about finding my own way and not being dependent on you.
His smile faded.
Our relationship is entirely different.
Which is why I need my independence.
She drew a deep breath.
I checked my bank statement today. I can't accept the money you transferred as a consulting fee.
He smiled at her wistfully. Somehow I knew this conversation was coming. Would it help if I told you that sums like that are transferred every day to contacts of mine around the world?
No, it wouldn't.
I know better than to argue, especially after what I've just revealed. He scratched his jaw.
I don't suppose you'd consider it a loan, just until you find another job.
No.
She sighed.
And there's something else. I received an EU blue card in the mail today.
Nicholas rubbed the back of his neck.
As soon as you agreed to work for me, I instructed the Paris office to file the paperwork.
As you know, I have friends in the French government. Obviously, they did me a favor.
I'm in a difficult position. I don't want to be deported. I love my apartment and my friends, and I don't want to be separated from you.
Nicholas nodded. But?
I don't want to accept it, but I feel like I have to. So I owe you.
Acacia wore a strained look. When they applied for it, I didn't know about your past. I can understand you don't want to do anything to jeopardize your residency or to invite scrutiny. All I can do is apologize. His expression was sincere.
I hope there will come a time when I can do a great kindness for you.
You already have. His voice grew thick. She scored a pattern on the surface of the linen tablecloth with the tines of her fork.
To summarize, I'm going to return the commission to you, but I'm going to accept the blue card, with the hope that someday I can do something grand for you. The only thing that remains is for me to find a new job, and I need to do that on my own.
He studied the skyline for a moment.
I'd like to see you work in the art world, on your own terms.
I became a concierge partially to hide.
Nicholas turned to her. How so?
People who work in hospitality tend to be invisible. We work long hours in service, and many guests don't even bother to learn our names. I think of it as hiding in plain sight.
I never thought of it like that. Nicholas frowned.
I told you about the kidnap attempt in Brazil when I was a teenager. After that, we fled to Recife. A year later, my mother sent me here on a study abroad program. I worked hard on my French, and after I returned to Brazil and finished my schooling, I came to the Sorbonne. Paris was a good place to hide, we thought. Hospitality was even better. But I always intended to work in the art world. I was waiting until more time had passed.
Don't put it off any longer, Acacia. You should ask Madame Bishop to help you find employment in the gallery. I won't interfere, I promise. Acacia smiled.
All right.
Good. Nicholas lifted her hand. With his eyes on hers, he pressed his mouth to her palm. I knew when you reported me to the BRB you were an amazing woman. Acacia closed her eyes and grimaced. Nicholas chuckled. You have to admit it's a very funny story. She opened her eyes.
I never thought of the BRB as a group of matchmakers. I suppose I'm lucky.
I'm the lucky one. You're intelligent and attractive. You're incredibly gifted. And yet you're jealous of Silke for my affections. Acacia squeezed his hand.
I'm angry at how she treated you. I don't care if she is a spy. She'd better stay far away from me.
Something pulled at the edges of Nicholas's lips.
Or what?
I'd give her a lecture on true beauty. I'd tell her to grow up and look inward before her interior ugliness defaced the rest of her. I'd trip her as she walked by.
Nicholas sat back in his chair. Acacia frowned.
Too much?
He grinned. Never. She lifted her fork.
Now that we've had our serious conversation, I propose we enjoy the rest of our dinner and the fantastic view.
Your wish. Your pleasure.
He whispered. She smiled.
Thank you.
Chapter 44. After dinner, Nicholas and Acacia retired to her apartment, while Rick and Kurt's overnight replacements guarded the hallway. After such an intense evening, Acacia was desperate for him, but Nicholas took his time lighting candles around the studio to the music of Anne Ducrot.
"Where's the cat?" he asked.
"Hiding in the bathroom."
"Finally, we have privacy."
Nicholas smiled and assisted Acacia in transforming the day bed to a queen-sized bed. She removed a pair of pillows from her reorganized closet.
"The look on your face when you saw the bed this morning was priceless."
"I know my mother likes you. I know she likes us together. I couldn't believe she'd sabotage me by incorporating a single bed in her design."
Acacia laughed. He removed his suit jacket and hung it on a chair. Just like that, the mood in the room shifted. Acacia watched, mesmerized, as he slowly unfastened his tie and placed it over his jacket.
He gazed at her while he unbuttoned his white dress shirt and removed the cufflinks.